and welcome to Wise Shepherds, the show that brings you closer to the heart of the flock. I'm your host, Teresa, and I'm honored to guide you on this journey of faith. Each week, we'll sit down with local pastors from our community who are dedicated to shepherding their congregations with wisdom and grace. They will share biblical insights, offer spiritual guidance, and help us reflect on our own hearts as we navigate the challenges of triumphs of our Christian walk. Whether you're a longtime believer or just beginning to explore your faith, our goal is to create a space for edification and encouragement. So grab your Bible, pour yourself a cup of coffee, and let's seek the Lord together. This is Wise Shepherds, and we're so glad you're here. Joining us today is Pastor Doug Jordan from New Life Christian Fellowship and our very own Bible teacher here on KNSN AM 1240, our sister station in San Diego.
In my 49 years of ministry, there is one thing that I found that has injured or hurt more people in life than anything else, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual. This one incapacitating ailment has caused more pain, sorrow, and turmoil or grief than any other, and that is unforgiveness. And what's the saddest thing about this is the cure for unforgiveness is simply forgiveness. And yet, forgiveness is something that eludes us over and over again. How can something that sounds so easy be so difficult? And after you deal with what forgiveness is and why it's necessary, there's one question that needs to be solved, and that is, how? How can I forgive? How can I get this healing I desperately want? How can I accomplish forgiveness when it goes against my nature? Well, I came across a simple acronym, and that is PEACE, P-E-A-C-E. This will help us remember just five things that will make forgiveness and healing possible. Let's start with P. In this acronym, it stands for the word pray. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You have heard it said that you are to hate your enemies, but I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who despitefully use you." Now, this should remind us that the first step in the process of forgiveness is to pray for that person who has wronged you. And praying for somebody who has hurt you or somebody that you love may be one of the most difficult things of all. But this is what you must do, because praying allows us to seek God's assistance and tap into His forgiving power. In his book, Letters to Malcolm, C.S. Lewis observed this. "Last week while at prayer, I suddenly discovered, or felt as if I did, that I had forgiven someone I had been trying to forgive for over 30 years, trying and praying that I might." See, Lewis learned that without the hard work of prayer, the words, "I forgive you," are just empty and powerless. And he was right. You see, as we pray for the person who's wronged us, we find that the hard feelings and the hurt seems to diminish. In fact, we can't pray for somebody very long and still hate them. If we pray genuinely and earnestly, we discover that we can't help but forgive that person. So P, pray. The second is E, which stands for empathy. This reminds us that in order to forgive somebody, we need to empathize with them. In other words, we need to back up and look at our enemy from a completely different viewpoint. We need to try to understand why they did what they did. We've got to turn from seeing them from, you know, our painful perspective to seeing them as God sees them. And this point of view is going to help us to realize that our enemies, you know, our persecutors, have infinite value to God. I mean, they bear His image, even though it's distorted and obscured by their sin. And then, when we see them as people who matter to God, they begin to matter to us. William Barclay related a wonderful rabbinic story that emphasizes how much God values the people He's created, even though they sin. In this ancient tale, the angels of heaven begin to noisily rejoice as the waters of the Red Sea cave in on the Egyptian army and drown them as they pursue the Israelites. Now, amid their celebration, God lifts His hand to stop him and says, "The work of my hands are sunk into the sea. Why would you sing?" You see, those angels should have read Ezekiel 33:11 when it says, "God takes no pleasure in the demise of evil people." To forgive, we need to love sinners like God does, even though we hate what they did to us. As Martin Luther said, To love your enemy doesn't mean to love the mire in which the pearl lies, but to love the pearl that lies in the mire. E, empathy. And then A, P-E-A, stands for act. To forgive, we need to sidestep our feelings of revenge and act in forgiving ways. It was John Stubblefield who put it this way. We need to act ourselves into a new way of thinking rather than trying to think ourselves into a new way of acting. Now, this principle of action is what Jesus was teaching in Luke 6 when he commanded us to do good to those, amen, who hate us and to bless those who curse us. Now, remember in Matthew 18, 15 through 17, Jesus said that when we're hurt, we're to act, go to the person who hurt us. You know, we, you know, the innocent party, we're to initiate reconciliation because forgiveness involves action. Harry Emerson Froderick said that when he was a boy, he overheard a conversation between his dad and his mother at breakfast table. Here did his dad say, "Tell Harry he can mow the grass today if he feels like it." Then as his father left, he heard him say, "And tell Harry he better feel like it." You see, forgiveness isn't a matter of whether we feel like it. It's a matter of acting on a command from our Heavenly Father. So if a business competitor beats you out of a contract, well, send a note offering your congratulations. If a friend or a family member continues to hold a grudge, keep on acting toward them in loving ways. If your adversaries require help moving or fixing a flat tire or need to borrow something, well, you know what? Go to their aid. Act in a forgiving way, even if you don't feel like. Then the C stands for confess. Part of forgiveness is kind of owning up to our side of the problem. And more often than not, we do share a part of the blame for pushing the person to being our enemy. I'm sure you heard the old saying that there's three sides to every argument. There's A's version, B's version, and then the truth, which lies, you know, somewhere in between. See, the fact is that as sinful people, we almost always bear some blame in any argument. Sometimes it's our own jealousy, you know, our own stubbornness or ambition or even our own bad attitude that's contributed to the rift that's between, you know, us and other people. And we need to admit our part of the problem. We need to say it's not my mother, not my father, not my toilet training, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You know, there's few things that accelerate the peace process more than humbly admitting our own wrongdoing and asking for forgiveness. We need to get to the point that we can say, "I'm sorry. The hurt I caused you now causes me pain as well." See, this tells our enemies that we're so serious about dealing honorably with this friction between us that we're willing to go beyond pride and self-interest to confess that, yeah, we do own some of the responsibility for any disagreement. And the final E in peace represents the word example. Now, this should remind us that whenever we're not sure how to love an enemy, whenever we hesitate because we're kind of perplexed over how to proceed, whenever we wonder if we've gone far enough in our effort to reconcile, we should look at the example of Jesus and model ourselves after him. Now, I know you might say, "Oh, yeah, Doug, you just don't know the terrible things this person did to me." And you're right, I don't. But I do know what we did to our Lord. And yet he forgave. I know how much we're forgiven, and remembering that ought to motivate us to forgive as well. The truth is, we'll never be asked to forgive someone more than God has already forgiven us. So if you have trouble forgiving others, remember what Jesus did for you. Watch in your mind's eye as the Lord was arrested on Gethsemane, as the soldiers with lanterns and clubs beat him and whipped him, and then marched him to the high priest's home, and then be present over the period of that night when he went through several mock trials. Listen as false witnesses were brought to declare testimony against him, and he uttered not a word. Feel the pain of the lash as it laid hold of his back. Walk with him as he carried that cross out through the streets of Jerusalem to the place called Golgotha. Feel the antagonizing pain as the nails were driven into his hands and his feet, and the spear thrust into his side. Listen as the crowd mocks and jeers, and then listen as he prays, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Then you forgive. Associate press reporter Terry Anderson, he was held hostage in Lebanon for nearly 7 years. He was chained to a wall in a filthy, spider-infested cell. He had suffered through sickness. He endured mental torture. He longed for his family. And through it all, he was given one book to read, the Bible. And as he devoured it in a search for words of hope, he came across Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount. It said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Can you imagine how outlandish that command must have seemed to Anderson? I mean, after spending 2,455 just mind-numbing days in a cruel captivity, I mean, love who? Pray for who? Show kindness toward those who brutalize me? Show compassion towards those who callously extended none to me? Well, finally, Anderson was released on December 4th, 1991. Journalists just peppered him with questions, and they wanted to know what his ordeal had been like, what his plans were for the future. But one reporter called out a question that just stopped him in his tracks. He said, "Can you forgive your captors?" Well, Anderson paused, and before the words of his response would come out of his mouth, the Lord's Prayer just coursed through his mind, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us." Then this victim of just undeserved suffering, he replied, "Yes, I can forgive them because as a Christian, I'm required to forgive no matter how hard it may be." My friends, sometimes the only way we can forgive is to stop and remember our own experience and need of God's forgiveness. Now, there's two more questions that kind of pop into my mind. And the first one is there somebody that you need to forgive, somebody who needs your forgiveness? And if that's so, I hope that you'll see the need today to act, the need to forgive that individual. Use that PEACE acronym we just talked about or whatever, but obey the Lord and just forgive for your good and for theirs. You want healing, learn to forgive. Now, the second question I have is this. Have you ever experienced God's forgiveness personally? Have you ever confessed your sin to God and asked for His cleansing? Have you ever claimed His Son as your Savior and your Lord? If not, I hope you do so today. The Bible tells us that Jesus in Isaiah was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed, because all we like have sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Jesus took your sin. He died for you. But after He was buried, He rose from the dead. Take His forgiveness today. He wants to forgive you of your sins and become your God and Savior.
That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us on Wise Shepherds. I hope that our message has provided you with a new perspective, some helpful guidance, and encouragement for your own spiritual journey. Remember, as we read in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." Join us again next time as we continue to seek biblical wisdom and grow in our faith together. Until then, may God bless you and keep you. I'm your host, Teresa, and this has been Wise Shepherds on KBright Radio.